Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
A couple of subtle movements in Forex markets this week, but a few more significant movements in the peripheries of the FX space. For one, we also saw gold breach $2,000 a troy ounce and hit some of these record highs in recent times. And we also saw some interesting and enticing movements, at least, in the burgeoning crypto space. But before we get into more of that, we wanted to bring in Mr. Lukman Atunaga from London. He's an analyst at FXTM, and he joins us on Forex Friday today to talk about all of these new currents, and joins us after many months of absence. Lukman, it's good to hear your voice. Good morning to you out there in London, and welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
All right. So, Lukman, as we know, the markets at the moment, Forex markets in particular, since mid-June pretty much have been really hinging around where the dollar goes. And since mid-June, the dollar index has weakened by as much as 8%. Investors seem to be turning on the once lauded safe haven. But there are some dollar bulls who feel that the greenback could actually rebound. What are your thoughts, and what might be the biggest boosters or possible weights on where the dollar might head until the end of the year?
Yep, the dollar just can't catch a break, JP. It remains depressed and heavily unloved due to a growing list of negative themes. I think the first one is the fact that we have the rising COVID cases in the United States, which remains a risk to economic growth. There's US-China tensions, shaky economic fundamentals. Just yesterday, we had jobless claims jump back above 1 million, which is fueling a sense of pessimism, political uncertainty, pre-election jitters. But I think the biggest thing that's really dragging the dollar lower is the fact that there's been massive amounts of dollar liquidity pumped into the markets by the Fed to keep things rolling. You know, the Fed's got an unlimited QE. It looks like things are against the dollar for the foreseeable future. If the dollar was to rebound, I think the major thing would be if the United States was able to uncover a vaccine for COVID-19. Until then, dollar weakness is likely to remain a key theme.
In fact, the dollar weakness has actually meant some surprising strength for currencies out in Europe. And whenever we have you, look, when we have to always talk about the British pound. In fact, my first question is, you look at the British pound at one point this week, they actually recouped all weakness or all lost ground made in 2020. But still not a very clear path ahead for Britain, though, with regards to COVID-19 issues and these economic headwinds and even Brexit also. First off, are you surprised that the British pound has performed so strongly? And second of all, what do you make of the still shaky and uneven path ahead for the sterling?
Certainly. It came as a surprise when I saw the pound actually erase those 2020 losses, despite the UK entering a recession for the first time in 11 years. Things just don't seem to add up. And I think the pound continues to derive most of its strength from a broadly weaker dollar, but also the Bank of England's overly optimistic economic forecast from the recent Bank of England policy meeting. Some complacency is also kicking in due to how the Brexit has been going back and forth, left and right, with no key direction. There is some good news, though, JP. Both sides seem to say that a deal is possible, but there's still some differences, including fishing rights and the post-Brexit competition. I think uncertainty is going to remain the name of the game, and the biggest risk for the British pound over the next few months would be the UK actually crashing out of the EU with no deal, meaning there'll be more higher tariffs and quotas. That's the last thing the UK economy needs right now, given the negative impacts of COVID-19.
But, you know, it seems that the relations and both sides may be a little more eager to make a deal. It seems that the standoff is less tense. Are you surprised that perhaps both sides are relatively more cordial than, say, 2 years ago?
Certainly. I think because more is at stake. 2 years ago, we didn't know that COVID-19 would, you know, make an appearance and destabilize the global economy. When we look at the European economy, it seems to be stabilizing, but there's been reports that COVID cases are actually rising. And GDP growth Q2 was also more than 2% as well. So I think both sides really want something done quickly because, you know, at the end of the day, if a hard Brexit becomes reality, there's no winners. Everyone's a loser.
All right. We're still speaking to Mr. Lukman Atunaga from FXTM here on Forex Fridays. As you know, Lukman, we look at the commodity space. They've been rather active. It's been a moment of truth for oil prices also. And lots of commodity currencies are out there that could be sensitive or vulnerable to the easing of production cuts by OPEC that might also soften or lead to another decline in oil prices. Which of these many commodity currencies might be proved to be most sensitive to potential crude volatility, and how volatile might things get for this currency?
Yeah, oil prices have been silently creeping higher, interestingly. Earlier in the week, we had the OPEC meeting, which concluded with, you know, no new deeper production cuts. But I think the most interesting take was how overly optimistic they were about how world demand will reach 97 of its pre-pandemic, COVID pandemic levels. That's quite optimistic given how things are right now. A commodity currency that comes to mind, of course, is the Canadian dollar. It's actually appreciated against every single G10 currency, almost every single G10 currency this month, but it's still down year to date because it's correlated to oil prices. And the reason why this is because when oil prices are high, especially in Canada, the amount of US dollars Canada earns on each barrel of oil exports will be high. So this is positive for the economy. I think given the uncertain outlook for oil prices, the dollar against the Canadian dollar is going to be shaky. But if I want to talk technicals, keep a very close eye at 132.
All right. Now let's talk about some of these other assets in the periphery of the Forex space. Of course, gold prices, look, you probably saw it also breaching $2,000 a troy ounce before settling back down. There are two camps. The two camps seem to be bullish. It seemed to be between those who are bullish and those who are hyper bullish, who are dreaming of $3,000 a troy ounce. Where do you figure among the bulls and the hyper bulls at the moment?
Well, I remember gold's momentum a few weeks ago. I remember it looking like similar to a speeding train, you know, being powered by fundamentals. It was absolutely amazing. I'm quite in a bullish camp right now because even though we're seeing bouts of profit taking, gold remains fundamentally bullish. We have to keep in mind that we are in an era of low interest rates, negative real yields, and a threat of rising inflation. And we know gold is a hedge against inflation. At the same time, there's geopolitical tensions, the fact that the world economy is expected to contract by roughly 3%, and COVID-19. So fundamentals remain in favor of gold, which has actually gained almost 30% year to date. In the near term, the precious metal may pull back, but when we're looking at medium to longer term, you know, hyper bulls, you know, 3,000 could be a possibility.
All right. And Lukman, you know, we've never really talked about this particular asset, but, you know, because of the all this liquidity that's looking for these assets, everybody's starting to take a look again at cryptocurrencies. Case in point, Bitcoin at one point crossing $12,000 per coin, and then suddenly coming back down and snapping back by about $500, if I'm not mistaken. You know, this liquidity has always been an issue in the crypto space, leading to all of this volatility that stung people pretty much every 2 years. Some believe, though, that transparency and liquidity is improved for cryptos to be taken seriously. My question to you is, can we take cryptos more seriously now?
And that's the million-dollar question, JP. You know, I just can't help but feel a sense of deja vu with the movements we've seen in Bitcoin arena. Market chaos and uncertainty sends investors rushing towards this unconventional digital asset, then a sharp decline after. I think the massive liquidity injections we've seen by world central banks have actually driven interest towards Bitcoin. But when we look at, you know, reports and all that stuff, there's still news about scandals of Bitcoins, uncertainty. And there's a question is, it's quite difficult to really find the intrinsic value of Bitcoin. This is another question many people are asking. So I think this is mostly due by speculation. And who knows, you know, prices could push higher. But like if history was to repeat itself, you know, it would be unsustainable and Bitcoin may trend lower in the medium to longer term.
Is there a way you could hedge if someone has a Bitcoin position? Or do you think the best hedge is just to stay out of it altogether?
Oh, that's a tough one. Gold comes to mind, though, because every time everybody talks about Bitcoin and gold, rather than looking at Bitcoin, just go to gold. You know, there's no place like gold.
All right. Lukman Natunaga from FXCM, a pleasure to have you back on the show on Forex Fridays after all these months. We wish you and your loved ones and your new family a safety and good health out in London during these very uncertain times. And a blessed weekend ahead for you and your family, sir.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure, JP. Have a nice weekend.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.